Hello, I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Welcome to the Science Translational Medicine podcast for August 26th, 2015. In this show, I'll be speaking with Dr. Scott Dilla from Stemcentrix Incorporated about a new antibody-conjugated drug that shows promise for treating high-grade pulmonary neuroendocrine tumors. Small cell lung cancer and large cell neuroendocrine carcinoma are two types of lung cancer that are collectively referred to as high-grade pulmonary neuroendocrine tumors. These types of tumors represent the minority of lung cancers, but they're particularly deadly because there are no effective ways to treat them. Less than 5% of patients that are diagnosed with high-grade pulmonary neuroendocrine tumors survive 5 years beyond diagnosis, so it's important to find new ways to attack these types of cancers. A group led by Scott Dilla at Stemcentrix in South San Francisco has developed an antibody-drug conjugate that delivers a toxin specifically to these types of tumor cells. Here on the line with me now is Dr. Dilla. Hi, Dr. Dilla.
Hello.
Why did you choose to focus specifically on neuroendocrine lung cancers?
Well, as you mentioned, the high-grade neuroendocrine lung tumors comprised of small cell lung cancer and large cell neuroendocrine carcinoma represent almost 20% of all lung cancer. But unlike lung adenocarcinoma and squamous cell carcinoma, there are either no approved therapies, as is the case for large cell neuroendocrine carcinoma and third-line small cell lung cancer patients, or those therapies that are approved provide little clinical benefit and a lot of toxicity. Specifically, the standard first-line therapy for small cell lung cancer patients has not changed in more than 35 years and provides a median progression survival benefit for extensive stage patients of only 3 to 4 months. Although these tumor types do represent a minority of lung cancer, they represent perhaps the biggest unmet need in lung cancer, given the poor prognosis with less than 5% 5-year survival, and also represent a large number of patients, approaching 40,000 newly diagnosed patients in the U.S. annually and more than 350,000 worldwide. We at Stemcentrix like to focus on the indications that are large unmet needs, and high-grade neuroendocrine tumors certainly fit that profile. We were also able to pursue these neuroendocrine indications because we invested early in building a large patient-derived xenograft tumor bank, which consists of more than 600 models across 21 indications, including 30 small cell and large cell neuroendocrine carcinoma PDXs. These models are patient tumors grown exclusively in immunocompromised mice, which we grow so that we can study human tumors in the context of a living animal and not a plastic dish. And these tumors have been instrumental in helping us understand tumor biology and target expression and have facilitated the evaluation of therapeutic responses to our drugs prior to initiating clinical trials.
The antibody drug conjugate that you've developed targets a protein called DLL3 that's present on the surface of these neuroendocrine lung cancer cells. What's known about the role of DLL3 in this type of cancer?
The role of DLL3 itself in high-grade neuroendocrine lung tumors is not definitively known, but should be the subject of interest given the findings we present in this manuscript. DLL3 is an atypical Notch ligand that, unlike other family members such as DLL1 and DLL4, does not activate Notch signaling, but rather inhibits Notch. The previous literature from the developmental biology field suggests that DLL3 does not make it to the cell surface, but instead resides inside the cell in the Golgi apparatus, where it's been shown to interact with Notch receptors in DLL1, potentially preventing them from making it to the cell surface where they might activate Notch signaling or by directing them to lysosomes for destruction. Elevated DLL3 expression is not a defining characteristic in all high-grade neuroendocrine tumors, but we've found that it's expressed in 89% of small cell lung tumors and 84% of large cell neuroendocrine carcinomas that we've profiled. Although there's RNA expression in some normal tissues, such as the brain, we do not see any protein expression on these tissues by immunohistochemistry, and our preclinical toxicology work with antibodies and ADCs cross-reactive to several mammalian species has not shown any indication of on-target toxicities.
And so in those tumor cells, the DLL3 is present on the cell surface, whereas in normal cells, it's inside the cell.
Correct. That's what we've found, and we believe that's because of the elevation in expression driven by ASCL1, which is abnormally high. So what's been discovered in the course of normal development is that DLL3 tends to be stuck in the Golgi apparatus, again, where it's interacting with Notch receptors and DLL1 retaining them and or redirecting them to lysosomes. In the context of cancer, where its expression is driven to high levels, some of it does appear to leak to the surface, where we're able to leverage it as a target for an antibody.
You made an antibody that recognizes DLL3, and that antibody's conjugated to a toxin that kills cells by damaging their DNA. How effective is the conjugate in treating tumors?
Well, we generated a large panel of antibodies to DLL3 and not related family members and evaluated a number of different toxins in our preclinical assessment in both in vitro and in vivo efficacy experiments. And during the course of this work, we found that A, antibodies that bind to specific regions of DLL3 extracellular domains better facilitate internalization than other epitopes, and B, that the pyrrolobenzodiazepine dimer toxin, or PBD, class is most effectively mediating this killing of small cell lung cancer tumor cells, whereas other drug chemotypes such as microtubule inhibitors had little to no efficacy. The penultimate ADC that emerged from this work, SC16LD6.5, when administered systemically to DLL3-positive tumor-bearing mice, was shown to be highly effective at targeting and eliminating DLL3-positive tumor cells, which include tumor-initiating cells, or cancer stem cells as they're more widely known. And targeting and eradication of these cells translates to effective cures in a majority of the DLL3-expressing PDX lines tested following a single 7-day course of therapy in these mouse models.
Why is this conjugate so effective in killing this particular type of cancer cell?
Well, antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs, leverages the best characteristics of both antibodies and small molecule therapies, respectively, combining the specificity of an antibody for its target and leveraging the potency of cytotoxins to specifically deliver these payloads to the target-expressing cells of interest while avoiding normal tissues not expressing the target.
How close are you to taking this antibody-drug conjugate into the clinic?
Because we were able to manufacture this ADC in our own GMP facility, we were able to expedite timelines to get SC16LD6.5 into humans in the middle of 2013. In fact, a phase 1 trial in small cell lung cancer and large cell neuroendocrine carcinoma has recently completed enrollment, with the results to be presented for the first time at the AISLC World Lung Cancer Conference being held in Denver in early September.
It'll be exciting to hear the results from the trial.
Yeah, we're excited to talk about it.
Dr. Dilla, thanks for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for talking with me.
That was Dr. Scott Dilla from Stemcentrics Incorporated. You can read his group's paper in the August 26th issue of Science Translational Medicine by going to our website at stm.sciencemag.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook. Thanks for listening. This podcast is a production of Science Translational Medicine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, working together to advance science and serve society.